The kidney microphone is actually a cardioid microphone.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Test. Let me see something.
No, that's okay. Significantly worse.
What's going on?
It sounds like you're talking to us from your pocket.
Really?
Yeah, that's bad? That's way worse. Go back.
Okay. Well,
do what you were doing before.
Okay.
If you need to, you can use mine.
Okay. Is this better?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, it just goes to show that the amazing headset mic that came with this gaming headset I'm borrowing is not as good as my normal mic.
No, gaming headsets suck. Even the highest end don't compare to a regular microphone.
Yeah. Well, I tried.
We appreciate it.
Okay.
Where I was.
I can't Raph hear you. I'm going through a tunnel. Moment. What? That's what it sounded. It sounded like like when you're talking to someone on the cell phone. They're like going into a tunnel, and they're like cutting out. That's what it sounded like.
Ew. Because the headset, I gotta be honest, I'm on some Logitech gaming headset. I'm gonna have to look into exactly what it is. But this is probably the most comfortable headset I've ever worn. But, it's some Logitech gaming headset. But the inside is like the ear is cut out in this big rectangular. So all of the ear actually goes in and is surrounded by these very soft cushions. It's fantastic. You guys sound great on it.
Dude, I love over-ear headphones. I use Sennheisers myself, and oh my god, like I've had this pair of Sennheisers for 6 years now. So comfy, and still like some of the highest-rated headphones ever.
Yep. So, what did everyone bring to drink today?
I am on my third cup of Kahlua coffee.
Kahlua.
And I feel happy.
I have Steamworks Killer Cucumber Ale from Canada.
Oh, Canada.
And it's an iconic splash of summer, according to the bottle. And it is very drinkable, very soft, refreshing, crisp. I don't know.
Is it smooth? You're basically one adjective away from describing Miller Lite.
What the shit, Storm?
What did you say?
I was actually going to rip on him for, bringing a cucumber beer to the show, because most cucumber beers, vodkas, whatever, are horrible. But I'm going to rip on you for a minute for comparing any beer to Miller Lite. You cheap, broke-ass, second-rate griffin. God.
Hey, when you just want to, get drunk and don't care about the value of your life or body, Miller Lite, what the hell?
If you're going to go low class, if you're really going to go low class and you don't care about flavor, you don't care about beer at all, that's where Pabst Blue Ribbon comes in. It's basically 50% water. They use it at Burning Man in order to hydrate themselves.
I completely agree about Pabst Blue Ribbon being as low as they go. There's no doubt about it. And if you're just broke ass poor, Pabst Blue Ribbon, there's no doubt about it. Miller Lite is like Pabst Blue Ribbon that would be served at a wedding. You don't serve Pabst Blue Ribbon at a wedding for hillbillies. You serve Miller Lite because it's just one step up.
You know what? But Blue Ribbon has like a symbol on it that shows you if it's cool enough.
You're thinking, don't drink it if the mountains are blue. If the mountains are blue, that means it's not cold enough.
Oh, okay.
Then now, because it's not the one you just said, Core. It's an older name.
I know it's in a song by Little Big Town. Don't ask me why I listen to Little Big Town.
Coors Light. It's Coors Light.
Coors Light, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's I think... The mountains on the bottle will actually turn blue when it's cold enough. On the
yes. Okay.
I think that's a really cool gimmick. I was really fascinated about that when I saw that in one of the local stores in Berlin. It was like, what is this?
Cheap American beer.
We can't improve the flavor of the beer, so let's add some technology to the can to get more people to buy it.
You know, that's why microbreweries are actually popping up and becoming so popular, is because we've had Coors, Natty, Pabst, and, you know, like all these very typical standardized, like, American beers for so long that the... I hate to compare myself to a millennial. I don't self-identify as a millennial, goddammit, but I love microbreweries because they break out of that mold and because they appeal to millennials for not being Coors, Miller, Pabst, etc. basic beers.
Well, going back to drinks this morning, I am having, well, morning for me, I'm in the same time zone as you today, by the way, Cor.
You're in the, where are you at?
Phoenix.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, I would love to be in Phoenix. I want to go there.
Yeah, I love coming to Phoenix, actually. It's I've got friends down here, and it's a beautiful
city.
Yeah,
me too.
So are you there visiting, you know, the Bad Dragon Corporation?
No, I know people that work there, but and are friends with some of them, but no, I am not here to go and visit BD.
You should still go and, like, take some selfies and, like, hang out in the factory.
One day, perhaps.
Fair enough. Anyways, what are you drinking, Storm?
I just want to ask the same.
I'm drinking a Varka's Blood, didn't you know? No, I'm actually drinking, let's see, a proper American breakfast consisting of a cup of coffee that is more sugar and cream than coffee, because that's how I like it, and a glass of orange juice that the dragons I'm staying with decided to make it griffin friendly. So by drinking this,
so orange they put
juice,
it in a sippy I cup.
Not quite, asshole. But no, I go in and am drinking this orange juice, and for some reason, I am just getting happier and happier because it tastes like there's adult beverage in it.
Ah, okay. So they either put like tequila, possibly vodka, maybe rum in there.
Oh, yeah. It's got a kick. And I go back and forth between the coffee and the OJ, and it's like an upper and a downer. Oh, my brain's going to love me.
That sounds like my life back when I worked in a call center. Don't worry, call centers, kids.
It's all, in my opinion, every call center should have both a giant coffee machine with unlimited coffee and right next to it a giant vodka machine.
Yeah, but unfortunately moments. They would have to limit you to like 2 shots per, you know, per shift. But it would be enough to take the edge off, make you tolerate your day.
I don't know. You know, that's something hot. You know, that's something I could totally see a hippie company like T-Mobile doing. You ring them up. And the rep you're dealing with, you know, fucking high on weed, like, yeah, man, my last customer was a cunt. So I hit up a couple intakes of the Mary Jane, and I can totally take care of that. Oh, what's that? Your bill's $3,000. Eh, fuck it. I'll give you a credit.
God, you are so painfully white.
But I'm not white.
Oh, but your spirit animal is white.
But I'm a black griffin. How the hell is this possible?
You tell me. That was...
Okay, well, why don't you do it, Mr., you know, black, purple, raven thing?
This is episode 20 of Bird Life. 20, guys. We've made it somewhere.
Wait. It's 19.
No, last one was 19. Isn't it?
Really?
One sec.
No.
Going to the website now. Pulling up bird.life. Loading. Damn it, it's episode 19 of Bird Life. We've almost made it, guys. We've almost made it.
Yeah, I guess Cor is the black one after all. Can't count.
Anyways. Oh, rude.
Oh, so
the joke is blackbirds can't swim.
Yeah, so
I'm this Storm, the not the totally non-racist one.
I'm Fleeks, by the way.
I already introduced myself. So
today I want to talk with you about the bird world. Just imagine the world wasn't populated with humans, but with anthropomorphic birds. How would Earth and our daily life look like if we all were anthropomorphic birds? If the evolution would have gone to the avian side, you know what I mean? And yeah,
okay.
How would the first thing I really would think would like to talk about is like all day stuff, you know, like how would they?
What would a bird's average day look like? Life?
I think it would start off something like this. You know, we'd still have skyscrapers and such, but birds would be able to fly to their various nests or condos, land on the edge, and then literally walk in rather than, you know, climbing up stairs or something.
And that would be nice. A world without stairs?
Yeah, that'd be top shelf.
What about the birds with handicap?
They're stuck on the ground level.
I actually think anthropomorphic birds wouldn't really be able to fly, if I'm honest.
Oh, I think they could fly, just not long distances.
Probably, yeah. Depending on the lifestyle. I like to imagine it's like, I think the best way to put it is like it would be kind of like Time for Birds in the fact that, do you see what I did there? Just did a nice little tie-in. But really, I do think it would be like that. So we would probably build our houses up next to and out of trees if we were like, you know, living in houses sort of thing. If it was like apartment buildings and skyscrapers like that, I think the Redwood Forest would be a really popular city. I think that would be the New York City of birds.
Yeah, and did you know, by the way, redwoods are so dense as trees and so hard that even peck-peck can't peck them.
It's true. There's also banana slugs located in the Redwood Forest. And when I went through there, I spent about an hour and a half trying to find a banana slug, and I couldn't find one. God damn it. That's a tangent for another day, though.
Yes, yes. Another day.
Oh, yeah.
The cool thing is the daily commute, like, unless you were like an ostrich or a penguin or something like that, you could commute quite a distance, and you would just fly. I think backpacks would be a really popular. Backpacks would be the briefcases in the bird world, you know?
Agreed. Totally. Mm. And if not on the back, maybe on the chest, because that way it doesn't get between the wing joints.
Or those belt bags, you know what I mean? Those
fanny packs?
Those you have in front of your stomach.
Yeah, that's fanny pack.
Yeah, fanny pack.
They would have never gone out of style in the bird world.
Yeah, I agree. I could totally see birds, like bird restaurants would be very interesting, because depending on what kind of bird you are, we'd have everything from top shelf, you know, prime rib level worms to, for the birds that like meat, your traditional variety of meats and steaks and such, though I don't think they would be cooked the same way humans do, naturally.
No, I don't think they'd be cooked at all.
Exactly. And I also to a more interesting variety of salad bar.
Yeah, you'd be able to get like grub worms and stuff, and your tomatoes next to your grub worms. And I think peppers would be really like spicy peppers would be really popular among birds, because birds actually don't have the taste buds to detect like capsaicin levels and spiciness.
Actually, you don't. The taste buds aren't involved into hotness at all.
Or okay, sorry.
It's like the
acidity doesn't affect them like it does humans, though.
With your temp, it messes with your temperature receptors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for birds, that doesn't affect them, basically.
Or it affects them, but they're just not as whiniest mammals.
They're just not wimpy, goddammit.
Yes, birds, the manly man's.
How would like entertainment go for birds, like bars and clubs and dance halls and stuff like that?
First of all, one of my main thoughts was glasses wouldn't look like we're knowing them, because using glass with a beak is probably freaking difficult. Also, straws wouldn't really work with beaks, I guess.
Straws? No, they
wouldn't. Yeah, because birds. I disagree.
We just stick our beak in there. It's a built-in straw.
Glass, I think, would work, but it would be thick. Like a wine glass in the avian world would be very thick compared to the fragile pieces of shit that humans drink now that crack when you sneeze at them.
I don't know if glass, like, for drinking would work, because, like, a majority of us would have fingers, and I don't think those would be able to pick up glass, like, effectively at all.
Go ahead.
I think the major problem would be to get the liquid in the beak then. You know how birds drink. They do not have lips, and so it would be very hard to put your, non-existent lips around the glass.
Well,
that's the main problem I see.
I'm imagining is like at a bar, not an upscale bar, like a lower scale bar where people, like birds, just show up to party and...
A working class bar.
Right. What I would see happening is, instead of having drinks in a glass or something, you would go over to the bar, pay them your couple of gold coin or what have you. Then you go up and there's pipes from the ceiling. You put your beak under it, take your flinger for all you damn flinger birds, and push a lever, and then it would just pour into your beak.
Well, that's see, we already kind of have that service here in the U.S. Well, not U.S., here in the world. If you go to the Hard Rock Cafe in Puerto Plata, or like anywhere in Mexico, then they actually have like service taps in room. And I've had representatives tell me, yeah, people actually just like walk right up to them, stick their head under the tap, and just drink like liqueur straight from the tap itself. So we're always washing those taps. I'm like, dude, I want to do that.
Yeah, but birds, you know.
Well, let me ask you this really quickly. How do birds drink normally? Fleeks?
Yeah, they just stick their beak in the liquid that they take it with their beak inside their bills, and then they throw their head back in their neck, and yeah.
So really the easiest way to do it would be chalices. So like it's a big thick bowl at the top with, you know, stem neck that you could actually fit your fingers underneath, so you could drink out of it. You could lift it if you needed to. But I think most of the time they would just stick their beak in and then throw their head back like that.
Yeah.
I think that would be kind of how it would work.
Yep, I agree. And moving on to the, while it's on my mind for a moment, just humor me, with the healthcare thing, the thing with birds, I think the two biggest injuries birds can have would be breaking a wing and breaking your beak.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that makes me think of dentists. Yes. How would they be? Beaktists.
I really think, I don't know what they would call it, but yes, I think there would be beaktists that would literally make sure your beak stayed in shape and that it wasn't too long. And if you damaged it, I could literally see prosthetic beaks being made until, you know, your beak regrows. And as for a wing, can you imagine walking around with a wing brace?
Yeah, that would suck. You'd literally be grounded.
Pretty much until it regrew. And then
the good thing about beaks is, again, just while we're on the subject, the good thing about beaks is they do actually grow like fingernails. So it would eventually grow back. But what we do now for birds who get like a broken beak in some incident is we do actually have like prosthetic beaks we give them. Especially now with 3D printers, we can just shape out how their beak needs to be and just kind of pop it on their face. And, you know, we actually use like Gorilla Glue to stick the prosthetic beak to their natural beak, and it just stays there. But hey, it works.
The joy of Gorilla Glue. It's if you can't fix it, Gorilla Glue it.
Oh, then like beak modification would probably be a thing in a bird society, like that they shape their beaks and stuff and putting stuff on it, like Riff, like Storm has on his beak this ridges or something to look cooler.
Yeah, I could totally see, you know, I've got ridges on my beak, but I could totally see in a bird universe where there's like rings on their beaks or piercings or all kinds of stuff, you know, higher up on the beak to where it doesn't really affect it.
Here's the problem with like beak piercings, because like even if it's higher up, like we established, you know, birds throw their heads back to drink, so there would always be some like leakage. But there is a solution to that. You could get your beak pierced, but you'd have to also put in a rubber grommet.
Yep. Seal it up nice and tight.
Oh, God. Yeah. So you could, like, easily stick stuff on your beak as to look cool and, yeah.
And in the bird world, it wouldn't be called a blowjob. It wouldn't even be called a beak job. It would be called more like a throat job, because the beak wouldn't really do much.
That's already a thing.
Yes, I'm.
Yeah, we talked about beak protection in a past episode, and that would probably be a thing.
Yeah, we're just mentioning.
Now that we are coming to sexuality of birds and stuff, one of my thoughts is, I don't know how accurate would their genitals, how comparable would their genitals be to, you know, the birds? Because as far as we know, most of bird races, most of bird species do not have a dick, for example.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we're sticking with, you know, semi-anatomic correctness, you know, for anthropomorphized purposes, even with, like, a cloaca, I don't think missionary would really be a very popular position anymore.
Nah. I don't think so, too, because if you compare it to humans, we are one of the only species that like mating in missionary like that position, and actually nature formed tits because they are looking like a butt, and that makes us gives us the trigger to mate in some extent.
I'm gonna need some research papers on that, but okay.
Yeah,
when I see a girl with a nice rack, I'm not thinking that's a nice ass. I'm sorry. I'm not forming the connection there.
No, even if it's like super subconscious level, no, boobs are awesome. Don't get me wrong, I love boobs. But I don't think anything even closely related to ass in relationship.
Well, according to... I mean, it has to form more or less like a good pair of butt cheeks.
With regards to sexuality, and you know, we've talked about that a little bit. I think that if we're talking about a world filled with birds, there probably would be a lot of variation. There probably would be some birds that did have bird dick. And then you'd also probably have some griffin and some other mixtures too, because I can't imagine a bird world being just with birds. There would probably be a mixture of other species and stuff involved as well. However, what fascinates me the most and just popped in my brain right now was, if we're talking about this sort of stuff, we've just talked about healthcare and whatnot, what would an avian bathroom look like?
I don't know. Depends on the bird, I guess.
Yeah, that wouldn't be difficult.
I think a sand shower would be pretty popular.
I think, again, if we're kind of going in the general direction of anthropomorphosis, other than the... we'd have to... I think the only major difference is, you know how toilets have the tank that goes vertical, like upwards?
Yeah.
I think we would have to rethink how we would do that, because tail feathers would get in the way otherwise. But I mean, other than that, a normal toilet would work just the same.
Are you talking about making like a hole in the ground, like have the bowl of the toilet just be in the floor, a big circle, the bird can
well,
go
no,
and
I'm
do
saying
thing,
for
get a blever.
Okay, so over here in the Western world, we have, you know, the raised toilets that we sit on, and I—that's what I was picturing in my mind. But you actually did give me, but no, for what I was picturing, I was thinking like we would just have to redesign the tank at the back of the toilet somehow so that the feathers wouldn't get interrupted. But you bring up a good point. Not to get too in depth with squatting and, you know, the calculations therein, but the Eastern world, you know, still uses the squat toilets.
It's actually better for your intestines and colon to squat. If you don't believe me, Google it. I won't go into details too much, but it lines things up correctly.
You are absolutely correct. So that would actually probably be the route like we would go down culture-wise. We would probably not move to a more westernized style toilet like we have now. We would probably just stick with the hole-in-the-ground style, but there would be, you know, a way to flush, basically.
Yeah.
Right. And for bathing, though, I'm imagining, like, for storms nest in this world, and I imagine for birds that like to take bird baths, I imagine it's just a giant bird bath, a giant big-ass bathtub that, for birds that like that, they would have one that they can just dive bomb in and splash to high hell and just preen themselves and enjoy the day.
Community baths would be a thing, but you also have to think the way society has gone, you know, we try to create this compact space for ourselves where we live in our own house. It's, you know, so bathrooms would have to be made in a more compact style than a big bowl to, you know, dive into with. Normal baths wouldn't work because it's super splash effect.
Yeah. Also, I don't think that like modern civilized birds would preen themselves for some reason. Because
are you kidding me? Totally would.
Seriously.
but think about it. We humans, we do not lick ourselves. If we could, do that mostly.
Who's gonna the beak? Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, Fleece, because you know you're the biologist here. But when it comes to beaks are designed for preening feathers.
Beaks may not be specifically designed for preening, but I mean that's part of what, you know, they're used for. And I think that would actually be a big cultural thing. Like, again, we're talking like if the world evolved as birds, not humans. Humans don't preen. Monkeys, you know, they pick bugs out of themselves and eat the bugs, but ugh, we don't do that. I hope. But for birds, I think preening would still be like a societal, essential kind of thing.
I think it's, you know, if you're talking about it being societal core, perhaps preening could be a more like almost a romantic thing too. Like with your bird partner, you would preen each other. As form of a courting.
It's true. Ritual. Hey, really quick, not to jump from the subject of courting and romance back to toilets really quick, but I kind of had the thought. You know, I was saying, you know, the space would need to be compact and everything would kind of need to go together, right?
Yes.
What if the whole room itself was like a bird shower or bird bath kind of thing? So essentially what it is, you know, you'd walk into this room and, as unflattering to picture this is, basically in the middle of the room is, you know, the toilet seat itself, the hole in the floor.
Right.
But there's this lid you can flip down over it so that, you know, you don't, you know, step in or, you know, whatever. But you flip this lid down, and then for the room itself, you know, it showers from above, and then you could, you know, wash yourself and, you know, flip your feathers every which way, cause water to go everywhere. That's fine. The room is designed to be able to take that. And then all of the water just drains into this, you know, the bowl in the center.
Well, I was thinking that, but step it up a notch. Instead of just the lid flipping down, the lid goes down and you turn a lever or hit a button or something and it seals down. And the whole room is curved to where, yes, it could shower.
I think you should make a patent for that.
Or it fills up. Like a bathtub.
Patent pending.
Yeah. So that way it can, you know, it could be the bird bath or bird bath bowl if you want it to be. It could be a shower. And when not being used for those things, you can go and, you know, drop your bird bombs in the middle without worrying about anything.
Yeah. And essentially, as we established, because preening is more of a cultural societal thing, like you might still have mirrors, but, you know, you wouldn't really so much worry about, like, you know, a hand basin or, you know, that kind of thing. Because your wings would not be involved in that process so much. But you would still, you know, wash and clean. I think bidets would probably be really popular in the bird world, too.
Yeah, yeah, I guess the same.
Now, I know that birds in our current life have a hell of a problem with have a hell of a problem with bird mites. So I could... What sort of diseases or bugs do you think birds would have to worry about in the bird world?
I think pretty similar to humans, like viruses and bacteria.
Yeah, and they suffer bird flu.
Yeah. I think that's not much different because, like, they would have other viruses and other bacteria, but...
But we can jump back to the healthcare subject on this. So how would, like... I mean, I don't think CAT scans would have to be too different. We'd probably name them something else. But, you know, MRIs and stuff, they would probably be relatively similar. But what about the rest of the hospital care? What kind of, like, hospital care, how do you think that would be different?
The delivery room would probably be different, if they even have a delivery room.
And yeah, you wouldn't necessarily need it. Eggs are just convenient like that. So neonatal and, like, neonatal care would go completely out the window unless it was, like, emergent, like cracked eggs. Like, that might be considered a medical emergency enough that, you know, you'd take your egg into the hospital and, you know, maybe they could save it from, you know, so long as the fetus in the egg itself is still fine, they can probably, like, patch up the egg and, you know, restock it with amniotic fluid that it needs, etc.
Yeah. And so, also a thing would be, I don't think they would really like, they would like really hatch it, you know, like they would put it in warm boxes or something, in an incubator or something, yeah. You know what I mean? Because they would set on comfort, you know?
Oh, hey. So, reptiles, and I think avians have this quality, biologists, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you temperature control the egg, you can actually determine whether it's going to be male or female upon, you know, development and hatching.
I think that's more a lizard thing.
That's more of a lizard thing? I'd have to look into the avian, but yeah.
Maybe there are some bird species where it's thermodetermed, but I think it's mostly like crocodiles or snakes, but not really birds.
But that would be an impressive way to, you know, not necessarily population control, but you would still be able to, like, you know, choose whether you wanted a, you know, son or daughter.
Yeah,
that would be interesting. Though I think going back to eggs for a moment, you know, I think it would vary. I don't think all birds would necessarily be, you know, hatched out of an egg in the traditional sense, you know, where you put them in the room to warm them up and then they hatch that way. I think some would be near instantaneous live births where they come out and just boom, because we'd have a lot
griffins.
Of variation. Yeah, griffins are, there's a lot of variation with griffins. Some are hatched, some are live birthed. It's just all over the place. But so that would definitely be different. And also remember when birds first come out, oh boy, do they need a bath. do they need a bath.
You're not wrong.
We look ugly when we first come out.
Just going back really quickly here, I did actually pull up a scholarly article on the incubation of birds and can females control hatching patterns? And it looks like there is the majority, 65% of cases, the proportion of daily incubation. Okay, so the overall is indeterminate, but it looks like temperature control does have some influence on gender of your hatchling.
Okay.
I just want to touch on that really quick.
The thing is with birds, because they have they have gonosomes, like they determine. First humans have that X and that Y right. chromosome, and but with birds it was pretty similar, but it's like the females have the have two different gonosomes. Really? Yeah, it's turned around.
Dude, that's and cool and weird, and I have so much reading material I'm going to be doing later.
Yeah, that's the system is not called XY system, but I forgot the letters who are actually used. Let me look it up. It was okay. Did they have the set? I don't say C. I said set W system. So the female is heteromorphic with a set W set of chromosomes, and the males are the homomorphic version.
That is so weird and cool, and actually, like, maybe this doesn't really apply, but it kind of makes sense why, you know, the males are the pretty attention-seeking ones, and females are not. They're more of, like, the females in this society are kind of the workhorses, and the men just kind of like, we're pretty, look at me, we're pretty, mate with me.
That's actually yeah, that's actually true. And actually, that system that females are heteromorphic is that's actually more widespread than what mammals have. So pretty much only mammals and some lizards have that have the heteromorphic male, but everyone else, almost everyone else, has these. Set W system. And
how culturally unfair is that? Now, correct me if I'm overstepping any bounds here, but, like, you know, in society as it is, the way it works kind of now, and I mean, we're in a big shift, you know, of pattern and, you know, trend, but traditionally, you know, the men work in, you know, human society, and then, like, women still work today, but when, like, you know, they get pregnant and it's, you know, time to deliver the baby, you know, they stay home with the baby and take care of it. It's still majority most common for, you know, the women to take time off work to, you know, take care of the baby. But in avian society, it would be not only do women do all of the work, they have to lay the egg, and they would still have to take care of the baby too, because the males of avian world just kind of like they're non-dedicated. They would not have monogamous relationship. They would just fly off and be like, okay, have fun, bye. It's nice meeting you.
No, there are many. That's not true at all. There are many avian bird that mate for life.
But which is more common, the ones that mate for life or the ones that don't? Because swans, ducks, I understand, mate for life. Ravens mate for life, but
pigeons. They do have
pigeons,
two days.
Doves.
They're like both are feeding the both are feeding the chicks, and both are they like exchange breeding it, the eggs, for example, or they warming the kids and stuff.
Okay,
they're really that's very common and actually very common for birds.
So it's more common for them to actually remain monogamous during the development of the chick.
Yeah.
Duly noted. I'm writing that down now.
you should read about that. And but an interesting question.
I'm not
what
trying
about
to throw facts out. This is legitimately what I thought until just now, so I'm sorry.
The breeding parasites, what about them? Would they like just give their eggs to adoption? I don't know. Like, oh no, I'm a cuckoo and I don't do raise my children, so
oh jeez.
No, that would be kind of... How would that work? Because, like, if we're in a developed society where the mentality is you take care of your own chick, I mean, adoption would still be a thing that would happen. But
yeah,
a whole species that only ever, you know, lays its egg and then, you know, lays its egg with another species entirely where its baby's actually going to like kill that. That wouldn't happen in a orderly society. So yeah. There would have to be like dedicated nursing to these species that don't dedicate like that.
Yeah, some of these behaviors would have to be either at least calmed down, toned down a few notches, or bred out if we're going to have a civilized avian society. And let's take it up a notch. Let's say what would happen if you're in a mated relationship and your hen lays a few eggs and they hatch and they turns out she has not been as faithful to you as you originally realized. What would happen in that circumstance?
Well, how would it be different than humans?
Yeah.
But that's what I'm asking. How would it be different? How would the laws be different?
Oh, laws. Yeah.
Okay, are we still talking about like brood parasites or just cheating in general?
I've moved the topic to cheating in general for a second in the sense that, you know, in the concept of cheating and the concept of reproduction, how would the law of the avian world look upon that, and who would be responsible for taking care of the chicks?
Again, in a societal development stance, how, like, I don't really see a deviating pathway. I would still see, you know, unfaithfulness being treated as unfaithfulness, and I think it would follow a pretty similar, like, a linear path as it did with humans. Again, okay, so are we in the mindset that the birds are in monogamous relationships, or are we in the mindset that birds are monogamous more for just the time of, you know, raising the chick, raising the hatchling?
I'm in the mindset personally of the birds at the very least being monogamous with their partner while the chick is being hatched and being raised until the time the chick can fend for itself. And,
okay.
You know.
Well, in that case, would it really actually, would there actually be a, would it be cheating at all? Because one, if you're only in a monogamous relationship for the time of, you know, egg care and, you know, chick, you know, raising the chick, like there wouldn't really be a position for cheating. Like if you mated with one person, or, you know, you mated with one bird and you mated with another one, you would have to figure out whose chick is it if you are in a widespread, you know, more avian style. Basically, I don't think it matters because, one, you would have to identify who the partner that helped you create that egg was. And if you are anything like avians actually are, you would have multiple partners that would develop this egg. And it would just be kind of who sticks around at the end, you know, after the courting process happens.
Yeah.
And second off, it would be, I don't really think there would be much of a concept of, you know, parenthood, like the degree that, you know, mammals have, or in this case, primates have. Primates have a very strong parental instinct. Avians, not so much. Now, just hearkening back to ravens, because that's kind of what I know most.
okay.
You know, they do actually mate for life. So they get older in life, they find a partner, they have a nest of eggs, they raise their hatchlings. Their hatchlings stick around for 2 to 3 years, if I remember right. And when I say stick around, I don't mean like, you know, they're in the nest, you know, being cared for. I mean, after they fly the nest, they still stick around in the territory and help the clan, so to speak. But after about 2 years of that, they fly off on their own and form individual clans. Mm-hmm. And it isn't until, I think, 5 to 6 years in their life that they actually start trying to find a permanent partner.
Okay.
So we wouldn't have this same sense of, you know, like, we would still know family, we would still have, you know, love and adoration for family, but we wouldn't be so dedicated to be like, oh, well, you cheated on me, and you're not, this isn't really, you know, my kid, that kind of thing. We wouldn't really care as much, I think, is the point I'm trying to make here.
Well, still, if let's say in that situation that, you know, you're a male and you're with a hen and you are together and you're still raising some chicks. And so you're still a mated family unit, and another round of eggs came out and were hatched. And it turned out that she had gone and, you know, banged the hot rooster down the street. Are you, as that male, on the hook for still raising those chicks? Or should you, like, okay, well, those chicks, you got to work, talk to that rooster about, you know, paying the bills.
Well, I think, again, it kind of all goes clan, you know, similarity. Now, again, going back to ravens, they're monogamous, they mate for life kind of thing. But in the greater sense, birds are very communal. So I think... go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the same. I think birds, even intro birds, would like tend to build flocks and be very socializing, very social. A very social culture they would have.
So it wouldn't really matter. They would just kind of expand their clan for that time being.
Yeah.
People join, people leave kind of thing.
Okay.
And it would apply to both males and females. Okay, so this female went out and, you know, had a clutch of eggs with this male, and then later had a clutch of eggs with this male, and this male had a clutch of eggs with this female, and later had a clutch of eggs with this female, and it would all be very communal still. Like, it wouldn't, I don't think it would matter so much. I think it's really weird, but I don't think the concept of cheating would really exist in the avian world.
See, perhaps with some birds, I do think it would exist with others, so there would be some variation on this topic. And I can see it getting quite vicious, depending on the circumstance. I don't know if birds would get to the point where they would kill a rival's young. They might, I don't know. But for the ones that mate for life, I think it would be taken more severely than...
In a societal stance, yeah, I don't think we would... condone killing another, you know, avian's young, just like we don't here. But that does bring up the subject, you know, for the more monogamous birds, ravens, swans, some species of ducks, etc., I think we would still have a court system and a system of lawyers in place for that. We'd have to call in the bird lawyers.
To bird lawyers.
Which segues into a good new topic. So how would laws be different for avians? Like, what kind of... I mean, there would be air traffic control laws, no doubt, but what else?
Good question.
Air traffic control laws. Oh, I imagine there would be laws about how you can conduct yourself in public. There would be laws over resolving... nesting areas and, you know, your home and how you
zoning committees and whatnot.
Yep, there would be laws over, since avians can fly, where you are allowed to deposit your less desirable things, because we don't want you, you know, crapping over a bunch of chicks playing in the park. Sorry, just not cool. And
I mean, as development, you know, from chimpanzees to humans, somewhere along the way we started, you know, creating a toiletry system. I imagine birds would do that too if there was an evolutionary development in that sense.
And I think there also would probably be laws regarding taxation, because I mean, you know, that assuming there's some kind of monetary system, and there may not be, but if there is, it's not all going to be peace, love, and, you know, merry, chirpy harmony. You're going to have rival factions. You're going to have birds that hate birds. So there's going to have to be defense in place.
Oh, definitely. There's no difference there as far as, you know, human and avian development. So, I mean, there's species on species hatred, which I don't know if that would categorize under, like, you know, race wars. But even within same species, clans fight each other, you know, over territory, over, well, mostly territory, because that's where you get your food. That's, you know, where you home. That's where you... So, really, I don't think like war and stuff would develop any differently.
Yeah, that and food safety too. Food safety, food supply. You know, we can't have all. I honestly, if this is a civilized society, outside of hunting, maybe for sport, I don't see most birds doing hunting anymore. I think they would have grocery stores, such like we do.
There would definitely be farming for, you know, grubs and regular worms and, you know, fruits and vegetables still. That's where I'm finding a hang up in the development is, aside from, you know, actual hunting birds, kestrels, falcons, hawks, etc., meat supply, that would be really weird because, like, we're still picturing cows as being, you know, undeveloped, unevolved creatures. But can you imagine avians farming cattle and farming, you know, well, I was about to say chickens, but that wouldn't work. But yeah, I think like there would still be farming, but it's just really weird to try to picture that. There'd still be work species like, you know, donkeys and horses. And
actually, because you came up with like chickens and stuff, I mean, birds in nature eat birds too, and humans who are mammals eating other mammals too, so maybe they're like,
but this isn't so much classification birds of mammalia as it is more of a family thing, you know, like humans don't eat apes, humans don't eat gorillas. I think you can still get kuru if you do that.
Yeah, probably.
So, but I don't think, yes, at this time we do eat other, like, birds do eat other birds. And, well, you're right, because, okay, kuru is associated with higher brain development. That's a disease that happens when you eat the same species, you know, gray matter, dura matter.
Yeah, I know this. That's also called laughing illness or something.
Yep. Just putting this out there for the listeners so that we're all on the same page. So maybe in an evolved society, there would be a sense of kuru. But as of right now, like, birds can eat birds and there's no bird kuru.
But now, okay, so you'd have, that would be some degree of tension, because unless there was artificial meat or only old birds got eaten or something after they passed, you would always have predator birds wanting to eat weaker prey unless they were once again controlled through a civilized society and offered alternative meat to eat.
I think for the sake of the... Okay, what would be the simplest thing? Because that's how societies develop, is we follow the simplest pattern that just works for how we want to do it. And I think there would be a lot of conflict if, you know, birds were still eating birds, alive or dead. So, regardless of, you know, kuru status or not, I think society wouldn't allow birds to eat other birds, out of respect for the species. So, I think the greater species, the hunting species, would actually be used, societally to hunt and, you know, gather meats. And then, yeah, there might be like some sort of market style place,
and nothing would go to waste because the scavenger birds would get literally the the trash, you know, the grade F meat would be great for vultures, so and everyone ravens would be able to enjoy.
I totally love low-grade hamburger with all its fatty goodness. Oh my god, put it in my face.
Me too. Me too. You know, all this lean meat can go to hell. I like flavor.
I have a question for you guys. Would you rather have the voice of the opposite sex and you're still male? Or would you rather have the body build of the opposite sex but still are being male?
Okay, gotta repeat that question one more time so I fully understand it.
It's basically, would you rather be gender-bent in voice only, or would you rather be gender-bent in body style only?
Except the genitals.
Yeah, for me, it's voice.
You would still be male otherwise.
Oh, yeah. That way I'd really throw you off. I'd be, you know, the manly man Griffin, but I show up and I sound like a woman, so you never see me coming.
That just reminds me of Pirates of the Caribbean. And so we shall go to war.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God. I would rather not sound like a eunuch, but at the same time, you know, I could still do the Femi body style. I would go with body.
Yeah, I it's a very hard decision for me because...
But it would somehow... still be weird to have my voice with a Femi body. Just going to put that out there.
I think I would go with the voice, probably. Because I think you can modulate your voice quite a bit. And also you would have a pretty unique singing voice. I don't know, that somehow the voice not everybody like can see it.
Right. It's true, and like I think I would choose body style because I'm a big fan of my voice as it is now. I mean, I didn't just, you know, I'm on a podcast, guys, like
but think about the voice. You could you could like prank people pretty easily.
But even if your voice suddenly, you know,
with the body type, you could prank them too. Like coming to them and touching them and doing
basically
body
being
flirt,
a trap.
Body, and then you're just starting to talk with your deep manly voice, and they would be like, "Oh fuck," that would be.
Hey, beauty, how you doing? Too. What the shit?
How you doing, baby?
It's definitely a hard decision, really, really.
Not for me. The reason why, even if my voice went bad, become a female voice, I would rather have my body be the way it is because I'm very happy with the body, and then you could just work on causing your female voice to have a range of pitch to have some fun with it, I think.
Let's think about women. What would they prefer if we had like a very feminine voice, or if we had a body they would like envy us for?
Say again.
Let's think about the ladies. Let's think about the females. Or if you prefer males, what would they prefer at you if it comes to like our dating and stuff? Would they rather have us having a very feminine voice or a body build?
You know, there's someone out there for everyone, so I have no doubt in my mind that you'd be able to find someone who enjoyed you for your qualities, whether it was voice or body.
Yeah.
Yes. Although I have no doubt in my mind that the Femi body would probably be a little more on the popular side.
Okay.
Even if you dated women exclusively, it's actually society's being really weird and shifting in that direction where, yeah, it's, you know.
No, some women will still... So a natural instinct is to go after partners that you think will produce good young. So if you go by that and you see a male that you think was a good suitor that will be able to provide for you and looks good and looks healthy, which some women associate healthiness with, you know, being more of the musky man, masculine, you can defend my young type. So
but what I'm saying is the way society is shifting is, you know, the pretty men get love too. Whereas, you know, 20, 30 years ago, they wouldn't have gotten love.
Another advantage of the voice is like you could like you would be like the perfect how do they call it, the sex hotline female as a male then. You think like a man, you know what men like, you know how to act and how to make them hot, and you would be like the best female on the other side.
Basically, single-handedly, you guys would bring back the 1-900 numbers.
Yes. Yes, totally. All right, the challenge is this. Everyone has to pick a scientific name of a random bird species and the others have to guess. Three tries. You can give one hint.
Okay. To the wiki.
Oh, God. Yeah, pretty much.
To the wikis. No, I actually already have one.
No, well, lame. Give me a second.
So it's okay. Just me against you.
Okay, no. So Storm,
and
we
then
get a
we
team
change
up here.
Through. So your team now, you're working together.
And team Core Storm.
The one I chose is Sagittarius Serpentarius.
Okay, I got Serpent. Say one more time.
Sagittarius Serpentarius.
All right, I'm guessing that's probably one of the snake birds.
No.
Hey, rude.
I don't have a fucking clue. Not going to lie, brother.
Yeah, I'm going to ask for our hint.
The snake, the Serpentarius, is actually a pretty good hint. But it's not a snake bird.
Okay.
It's not a snake bird like the one with the...
Like the species snake birds, yeah.
The species snake bird, yeah.
Okay, repeat it for me again. Slowly.
Sagittarius... Serpentarius.
Sagittarius Serpentarius.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. What was a Sagittarius?
Hmm?
I'm asking Storm. Storm, do you remember what Sagittarius is?
Sagittarius. Let me think.
I'm wondering if there's any relation with the constellation kind of thing. Like, you know.
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I'm drawing.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on it, too.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it, please.
Serpentitis. Yeah, I gotta give. Sorry.
Another hint is actually that they are. How do I call it? They are. What? I don't want to give it away too easy. It's a bird of prey.
Eagle.
Oh!
And you know it.
We do know it. It's a secretary bird.
Right.
Seriously.
Because it eats snakes. Yeah. Serpentarius. I don't remember what Sagittarius is, but yeah. Okay. That clicked.
You, both of you are a winner.
Yes.
Okay. So, no. Hit the... I would say Core next. Hit me and Storm.
Okay. Team Stormfleaks, are you ready?
Never. Yes. Okay.
This one's going to probably be super easy. I'm not going to lie. Ramphastos toco.
That... Whoa.
Ramphastos what? Toco.
Sounds like a porn
Is that
star,
a pelican?
Nope, not a pelican.
Ramphastos toco.
Oh, I meant not a pelican. Sorry, I just confused it because of the big beaks. I meant a toucan.
You got
toco,
it.
Toco toucan.
It's a toco okay. Toucan.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
I literally
you already had.
I literally was about to throw out toucan just for shits and giggles. And
oh yeah, sorry. I should have like given you a chance, but I always confuse pelicans and toucans and taco. I think you already had that in one.
So no,
guess the bird
that was never a guess. The bird, but I've talked about toco toucans before because, like I said, they're one of my favorite species.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You guys ready?
All right, we are Team Corfleaks.
Corfleaks.
Hirundo rustica.
Rondu rustica.
Mm-hmm.
Rustica.
Rondu rustica.
Storm,
you didn't make this one easy.
How's it called again?
Hirundo rustica.
Is that R-O or R-U?
R-U.
R-U rustica. Like rust, like the metal.
Hirundo rustica.
Damn it, I knew I should have taken Latin in high school.
You want a hint?
Just screwing myself over.
What is it? Give us a hint. Is it a bird of prey?
Here's a hint. It's something horrors like to do.
It was?
What?
What?
It's something horrors like to do. That's the best, worst hint ever.
Think outside the box.
Because depending on how much you pay, that could be literally anything.
No, the tits was just a joke, but it's not tits, right?
No, it's not tits.
Okay.
I mean, I've met some whores who will do pretty much anything, so not that what I use do, their services.
Do, is there another kind of species that likes to do that?
Not that I'm aware of in that aspect.
I'm willing to throw in if Fleek
give
says.
Give us another. Give us another hint.
Another hint.
I'm too motivated, too determined to get it.
Okay, so. Okay. It's something whores like to do involving mouths.
Involving what?
Okay, so like blowjobs kind of thing.
Sucking? No, there's no bird called sucking.
You're close.
What?
You're close.
Sucking a swallow?
You're right.
Swallow. Oh. but why are especially swallows? Because every animal swallows. I don't get the hint.
That was actually a good hint. Storm, if I could high five you right now, I would.
You're welcome.
I don't get it.
I mean, I guess you could have said something like, it's something that a good girlfriend or boyfriend does, and that would work too.
Okay, yeah, then we would that would have been easier. Is it a special, I mean, there are a lot of swallows. What kind of swallow is it?
It's just a general swallow. It's the scientific name for a swallow.
Okay, so he was going with like family or something. Still, that was good.
Okay.
Yeah, is there anything else we want to touch on?
A lot of things, but not in the show.
trust me, Cor.
I want to have you touch me all night.
Depends on how much you pay me.
I'm very
next. Cor prostitutes himself.
Hey,
how do you think
now?
We really keep the servers on?
Yeah, that was
perfect. Well, until you guys actually start donating more. On that subject, yeah. Thank you for tuning in. Feel free to catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Bird Life Podcast. You can also join us on Telegram. Bird Life Podcast is the channel name as well. If you enjoyed this episode, consider kissing a bird. What that does is when you kiss the bird, it takes a dollar from your bank account and sticks it in our bank account, and that helps pay the server fees. And we're only asking a dollar because it's kind of like, if you enjoy the episode, you know, just it's a dollar. Throw us a bone. It's four quarters to you, but it means the world to us. And it helps keep the podcast going. So, yeah, if you enjoyed the episode, consider kissing the bird and donating a dollar. Thank you.
We promise that we sanitize the bird's beak after every kiss.
Beak sanitizer.
Yeah, that'd be another thing that Avian Society would have is beak sanitizer.
That's right. So remember, birds, always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Decided to make it griffin friendly. So by drinking this,
so they put
juice,
it in a sippy
I
cup.
not quite, asshole. But no, I go in.
Why are you so slow, Cor?
I will wing slap you.
That's that. My body's ready. Actually, wing slaps, they appear pretty pleasant to me.
Yeah, see, I like wing bapping. And Cor's like, oh my god!
because it still carries the same connotation as a slap.